Before we begin this episode, first of all, I'd like to thank all of our listeners for their endless support. We would also like to invite you to visit us on our website at www.PTGrind.com. Access to all of our PT Grind platforms, as well as your own PT Grind ebook, free ebook titled Top 10 Tips to Get PT. Our purpose with current and future content is to provide you everything you need to be a stellar PT Grind. We look forward to serving you more and more. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
What's up, everybody? This is Casey and Joseph here with another episode of the Pre-PT Grind podcast. This is where we help you decide, prepare, and transform, not just to be a better DPT student, but to be a better physical therapist in the future. It's like we got a full house today. We got myself, we got Joseph, we got our executive producer of the podcast. So if you guys heard of the podcast before this episode at all, Miss Zanai, or I should say pretty much future Dr. Z, because she's in PT school right now. She edits all the podcasts. She puts it out, makes it all fancy for you guys to listen to. She's joining us on the podcast today. And our special guest, his first, we just learned this right before we hit record.
Exclusive,
his first ever podcast recording. We get the exclusive here with Pre-PT Grind. His name is Dr. Jason Wright, AKA the new model for SSPT Live. We'll have to put it in the show notes or something, put a link to it. But he put out, what was it, Jason, like a week ago, maybe a few days ago, you put out a picture and it kind of went a little viral and stuff like that. It was funny, though. Yeah, how you doing today?
Man, guys, I'm doing well. Thank y'all so much. Zanaya, thank y'all for having me on. It's just an honor. You know, I like to think maybe that you guys are my first because I'm just super exclusive and picky about who I agree to go on with. So I wish, man, honestly, if that was the case, it would be the truth. It's just opportunity is unreal. So I appreciate y'all reaching out and wanting to have me on and share my experience.
Man, honestly, bro, it's a pleasure to have you on here. We were at a retreat. So Casey and I, with Pre-PT Grind, we put ourselves around other business owners who have platforms that they're trying to serve, you know, people with. And so Jason was one of those business owners. And at the retreat, Jason shared a little bit about his story and how he found physical therapy. And Casey and I immediately were like, yo, we got to get this guy on the podcast ASAP. And so you'll hear in just a few moments, but Jason, really, not only your friendship, man, but really your story is inspirational. It's already inspirational to us. It's going to be inspirational to every single person that is currently listening to this episode right now, whether they're in their car, at home, walking, still in bed, trying to wake. I mean, wherever they are, man, we're excited to have you on here sharing your experience, man, because we honestly do believe that every single guest that comes on here is a reflection of somebody or is a future projection of somebody that is currently listening. And so there's somebody that is listening right now that is going to value your experience and your journey because they're going through it and they just need to know that they're going to be all right. So we appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you all, man. That's really humbling to hear because, you know, it's like you said, there's one person out there. And that's kind of how I approach things, even just as a business owner, as a clinician, is there's just one person's life I can change today for the better, then it's all worth it.
Mm. Yeah, man. Before we get into the episode, I know we all kept saying Zanaya and all that stuff. We haven't even heard her voice. Like, I know we were talking like she's here. Z, they got to know that you're actually here because they're like, yo, who's this Zanaya girl? She here taking care of the podcast and everything. You know, say something so they know you're here.
Hey, y'all. What's up? It's Zanaya, a.k.a. Z, a.k.a. future Dr. Z. But yeah, I'm here just listening in. So grateful to be part of this wonderful podcast. Love to help you guys out, get new perspectives, hear new stories, experiences, stuff like that. So, yeah.
Hey, you'll be hearing more from Zanaya. Get used to that voice. That is one that will be dropping a lot of knowledge for you, but also engaging and participating in future interviews. So Z, Dr. Z, it is a pleasure to have you on here. I just want everybody to hear a little bit. Now, Jason, take us to the beginning, sir. I know physical therapy was not your first option. I know it wasn't what you wanted to get to from the beginning. So take us from the start. Where did this all begin? Before you were a physical therapist, before you were the model for Smart Success PT, before you hit all that, sir, where did this all begin? Where were you headed in life? Because you are a non-traditional, you were a non-traditional pre-PT, like right. many of our listeners. And so for you, tell us about your beginnings. Where were you headed before you even chose physical therapy?
All right. So I think I was a sophomore in high school. So probably around 15, 16 years old, and started thinking about, you know, what college is going to entail. What do I want to do with my life? People asking you those questions and you just don't know, right? Like you're supposed to have it all figured out by the time you're 18, and that's not reality. So I tried to settle upon what am I good at? And at that time, what I was good at were sports and singing. So the thing that made the most sense for me, because I'd messed up my shoulder playing baseball, so I didn't want to pursue sports because I didn't really see a future in that. So, hey, I'll just go into something music related. So I got really interested and involved in choir and musical theater and kind of directing, things like that, music composition, those types of things. And it kind of clicked. I'm like, hey, I can do this. And I pursued some different things. Like in Kentucky, there's this thing called Governor's School for the Arts. And you spend 3 weeks there, you get trained by some, like in my case, some Broadway performers, former performers, singing, acting, dancing, all that kind of stuff, to where at the end you put it together, and your experience through that can get you a partial scholarship to the university that you want to go to in state. At the time, it was University of Kentucky. I wanted to be a vocal music education director and be a choir director and do things that way. And, you know, I got the scholarship. The second step though was I had to audition for the program. So I go up there, I audition. Look, if it tells you any indication as to why it was so hard for me to be a pre-PT, was I was such a procrastinator. So I learned the piece on the drive up there from Bowling Green, Kentucky. So like 2 hour trip, I'm trying to go through the music, like memorize it in my head, like this is what it sounds like. So all right, yeah, I can do this. But it's in Latin, so you can't really fake it. So you got to know it. You can't wing it and rhyme Latin. Get up there and audition, like big, fancy-looking theater. They're, like all the staff, faculties sitting out there, and they're judging you. Hand it to the accompanist, and music starts playing. Sing it. Yeah, do pretty well, I think. Get to the second verse or the last half of the song. I blanked out. And I'm like, that's it. Story's over. I guess I got to find something else to do because there's no way I'm getting into this program. And fortunately enough, I got a call like a week or two later. The director of the program says, hey, we'd like to accept you into the program. And so I got the remaining half of the scholarship. So basically my freshman year was paid for to be a music student, and got into it. And I thought life was set, man, I'm good to go. Like this is what my friends were doing. Some of my really close friends, this is what everybody told me, like I was really gifted at doing. And so, it was all good until you get there. And I got there and I started to see like all I had to do with voice lessons, all I had to do with just practicing rehearsals, all this kind of stuff, like all hours of the day and night. And I was like, well, this kind of sucks because I'm 18. Like I'm trying to enjoy my friends and my social life and get out and meet people because this is the first time I've been away from home. And, man, it was a harsh reality because it sucked. When you have no discipline and no passion for what it is you're really doing, like the work that has to go into it, why apply yourself? So I didn't apply myself, and I ultimately flunked out of college. so, yeah, music was not the end goal. And that ended up with kind of a bitter taste in my mouth when it came to music. So I had to quit that. Had a 1.86, let me repeat this, a 1.86 GPA leaving my freshman year at the University of Kentucky. I had a full year of classes that I'd taken, and I was able to transfer with 14 credits back home to the university that I didn't want to go to in the first place because I didn't like its choir program. I did that and stumbled across just kind of applying to that school. I couldn't even get into the university back home at Western Kentucky University, and had to go to the kind of the local community college, what we call South Campus. Went there for a year. They told me, you know, you're on academic probation. Like things are real strict. You got to get your stuff together. Otherwise, like you might not even be able to stick around here. So that was kind of a wake-up call. So dreams were already crushed. I couldn't be a music major, which I thought was going to be my life goal at 18. And then, like, setback number 2 and 3 and 4, like, I can't do this. They won't let me in. So take gen ed classes, get all that stuff out of the way, try and build up my GPA in that year that I'm at South Campus doing the community college thing. And maybe I've got a chance to get on the main campus the next year. So I did that, got the grades up. You know, it's amazing what happens when you attend class when it's scheduled, because you just automatically do better. So that was probably the first lesson that I learned the hard way going into it. So did that as part of the gen ed courses that I had to take. You know, you have to take a PE class, something like that, to get that credit. And there was a chapter on exercise for injuries. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because, you know, like, one of the first things I talked about was like an athlete, pitcher or something like that. Somebody hurt their shoulder. I'm like, okay, well, I hurt my shoulder, and like, I thought I was going to be real something in baseball. So I didn't know this was an option. They just told me surgery, like, your shoulder's messed up. They used a lot of big scary words to a 13 to 14 year old. And they said, surgery's going to be able to fix it if you want to keep playing. And kind of got really intrigued by that possibility that, wow, I can just do some exercises and maybe get better and not have to have surgery. That's pretty out there. Like, why didn't they tell me about that? So I got interested in that. I looked for a job that had the possibility to work in that field, because before I really started going down that road, changing majors and doing everything like that, why, you know, is this going to be for me? Found a job as a gym, was owned by a couple of PTs who were really, really great about trying to integrate the two worlds together between fitness and PT. And they took me in, and I started off working on the gym side of things. Job opened up as a tech in PT, and man, there was no turning back from there. Worked there 7 years in undergrad and into grad school even. Worked my way up. I think I held every position that that company had, except I never taught in aerobics class. and, you know, just really valuable experience. And that was probably the best advice that I was giving people along the way that were asking me, like, I thought you were a music major. What happened? So, you know, if you want to get into something, like, investigate it, you know, like, I thought that just my passion for music and my natural talent that I had, which, let's be honest, probably not a whole lot of natural talent, but they were nice enough to let me in. You know, get in there, figure out if it's going to be for you or not. You know, don't just do the minimum, like, observation hours that the program requires, because it is a hefty investment of your time and your money and your energy if it's something you're not going to be passionate about. So that was kind of life lesson number one. Went along that route, and again, switched majors. If we're kind of backtracking through the story, switched majors, and man, it was an uphill climb. So 1.86, all right. And I'm starting to, like, research these programs, what their prereqs are and what the requirements are. And I'm like, they're not even going to look at you if you've got less than like a 3.4 from what most everybody was telling me. And so I was like, well, you know what? I'm stubborn. I'm just going to go for it. I like helping people. I feel like I'm kind of a people person. And so that's what I wanted to do. And hustled, struggled, had to retake a lot of classes along the way. But I felt like, and my advisor had shown me, if you can show some upward trajectory, you know, with your effort from year one through graduation year, like, that's really going to benefit you. And that's what I did. So I buckled down. I took summer classes when I had to. I took winter classes when I had to, just to try and catch up to be on time. And I went that route and was able to climb the GPA up to where ultimately I was able to get it to, at its best, like a 2.9 and some change. And trying to go that route was really difficult, because even then you still felt like you put in all that work and all that effort, and then even still you're not going to be competitive. But you know, right? You know that you're probably going to be a better PT than anybody else that they're looking at, who's just doing the bare minimum observation hours and has never worked in it and never didn't log the 3,000 work hours plus that I had worked just as a tech. And not to mention the experience that I had working in the office. So basically being an office manager and then scheduling patients, talking to them about their insurance benefits, trying to explain to them the benefits of being consistent with their appointments and attending and things like that, and trying to just really sell the value of PT before I was ever a PT. And I felt like if I could just get that interview someday, then I'd be set, right? Because who else has that? Not many. And so, yeah, I graduated with my bachelor's degree in 2008. So I was, you know, took me about 5 years. So I was about 22, 23 when I graduated, and then worked a couple years full-time in those clinics, went back, started looking at prereqs, taking those over, trying to really up the GPA some more. And again, by that point, after you've taken so many hours over so many years, we're talking decimals is all that's going to be affected. So go from like a 290 to a 294 or something like that, even with great grades. So that's the route that I took. While retaking a lot of those courses, essentially since I was a graduate student, right? So I'd already had a bachelor's degree. I had to apply into a program. And so I just applied to the exercise physiology program that I'd come from. I knew that advisor. I knew he was in charge of that department. So I just submitted the application. He said it was an easy admit because he knew me. He knew what my goal was and let me in so I could retake those classes. But he told me, he said, look, I know what you're doing because I watched the classes you're taking. He said, if you want to, just go ahead and get your master's while you're here. I'm on, you know, they were on the hiring committee for this brand new program that was coming to WKU for a DPT program. I thought, I believe it when I see it. They've been talking about that since I was like a freshman. In my luck, it would never happen. Sure enough, he was. Like, they'd already hired the director. They already hired the clinical education director. So they had the top two people. And they already had their funding. They already had approval. So it was just a waiting game. But he told me, he said, now, if you want to do this and you want to get your master's and you can just bust it with like a 4.0, I might go to bat for you. And he's not the type of guy to do that. But he'd seen me like all through those years of the struggle and what my goal was and having to have quite a few come to Jesus meetings and things like that, like, you know, get your stuff on track. And it was just great, man. Like for somebody like that to be in my corner when even I didn't really believe I could do it was huge for me. So being able to have that kind of advising figure, a role model to be able to push you, but then at the same time support you and believe in you was, I think, critical for me at that time. Being able to do that. And like I said, by that point I was working full time, and then I'd leave and then go take those grad school classes at night, like 3 or 4 nights a week. So I'd be leaving my house in the morning, which at the time, like, you know, I was with somebody who had a son. And so that was my family. I would leave at like 6 in the morning, work all day, leave, go to class, get home about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, homework, repeat the next day. And it was tough. It was really tough, but I figured it's going to be worth it. So after that, I got the master's degree in 1 year. It's a 2-year master's. I got it in 1 year. Which kind of surprised me, you know, given just I had to show them the work ethic. I had to show them because I wasn't standing out on paper. So I had to show them that I was motivated and dedicated, and I had the discipline that would get me through the program if they would accept me. Because on paper, it's just not, it's an easy no. Like, that's not even an interview. So I applied there. I applied 4 other schools. Essentially, kind of backstory, I skipped over this. It took me 3 years to apply to all these different programs. And I got told no, 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 no. Just, I wasn't good enough. You know, my GPA, they said they've got a standard and I don't meet it. And so that was setback after setback after setback. And so each year I kept trying. And so ultimately, that's when this program opportunity started. And I applied to it. That was the only interview I ever got out of the 13 applications I sent out over those first 3 years. That was the only interview I ever got. And it made me nervous because one of the people that was interviewing me was the main benefactor who like put down a lot of money up front to make sure that program got started there. So I had to impress him, and I felt like I did. I felt like it went well, but here's the kicker. You get a letter in the mail like a week later after you feel really good about it that says we regret to inform you that due to some paperwork issues with the CAPTI accreditation process, we can't start our program until the next cycle, which is next year. Yeah.
Jason.
So going on year four.
Hold on. Before we get in there, because right now there is a pre-physical therapy student about 22 years old, just applying their first time, just got rejected their first time, and they're like, woe is me. World is falling apart. I wanted to be a PT by the time I was 26 years old, and now it's not going to happen because this is this, this is that, this is the. You're telling me you had a, like, rough, well, if I rounded it, like a 1.84, right? 1.86. Yeah. My apologies for the point two. Like, a 1.86 GPA.
Yeah.
Go through this process of having to work in the field and then obviously applying, getting into a program that, because of, you know, CAPTI and the accreditation. Bottom line is, you go through that, then it looks good, but then now you have to wait a whole other year just because that process falls through.
Yeah, and probably the worst part of it, I never knew if I was going to be in not or not anyway. So, like, it's not like they could say, hey, we wanted to accept you, but we couldn't.
It was, all you knew was that it's another year.
It's another year before they can do anything.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay, so before we get all detailed and everything, like, what in the world, Jason, pushes you to still keep pursuing it? Because at this point, half of our listeners would have literally pulled the plug halfway through your story. Mm. They're like, you know what? This is God telling me this is not it. All right?
Yeah.
But right now, you're a physical therapist, correct?
I am.
Cool. So what pushed you to keep going regardless?
I don't know. There have been times where I thought that it was just, I felt like a calling. Other times I kind of would think that it was just really being stupid and stubborn and not knowing any better to keep going.
So you mean we all got to be a little stupid and stubborn, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, what else was I going to do? Like, I had an exercise science degree. I couldn't do anything with that. I was actively trying to find jobs just as like a, you know, exercise physiologist or something like that. And they're all just like, look, you got to have a certification or you got to have your master's degree, preferably both. And I'm like, what? Like, why would I do that if I really want to be a PT? So it's like, basically, and I would always tell people like, oh, you're an exercise science major. That's awesome. Because I really feel like it, in my opinion, it gives you a lot better foundation to be prepared to be a PT than any other of the science majors or anything like that. That being said, you best be sure that you're going to PT if you go that route, because there's not much you can do with it. I actually had interviews and got offered jobs to be doing like insurance sales or pharmaceutical sales that paid much better than the whatever $8-9 an hour I was making, you know, at the clinic. I just felt like I had to do it.
Tell us more about this non-traditional track. What would you tell other students who are coming from another, you know, career path? Because we get a lot of those in our group and our messages, you know, signing up for our stuff. They're like, I'm coming over from another career as well. Then we get this whole long thread, like, oh, me too. Don't get discouraged. Me too. It was like, where did all you guys come from? So they're lurking in the shadows somewhere that we can't really pinpoint, but they're there. They're listening. So what would you tell them who are kind of in that same point of switching over or thinking about switching over?
You know, it's kind of – the main thing is just it's difficult when you look around, especially even just once I was in the program. You look around and you see these people that just had a straight shot from – bachelor's degree right into PT school. You know, they're 23 years old and they're trying to graduate with their DPT, or they're 24 and they're trying to graduate with it. And I'm sitting there like doing the math. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be 31 on graduation day. So it can be discouraging if you let a lot of self-doubt get in the way, because what you have is a benefit over what they have, is that you've got life experience and you understand yourself a little bit better than they understand themselves, more traditional students do. Because by that point, hopefully, you've learned yourself and you understand more of what makes you an effective listener, learner, and studier than potentially what you would learn going straight through from undergrad to PT school. Because in my case, going on and getting the master's degree in between helped me really learn. And they didn't hold your hand. Like, it was like, look, here's how it's done. You've got between now and next Monday to have this, 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 and this done. That's it. And it was a lot of like self-paced learning and stuff like that. So if there's a good chance, if you're coming from another career, or if you're coming from another field of study or whatever that is, and you've got a lot more experience under your belt, that means that hopefully you have a lot better understanding of yourself, to where that way you can show that you're able to apply yourself to something and then prove that it's just a little different area of focus. You know, say I've already succeeded in this department. Why I didn't want to continue down that road is because I felt like I had A, B, or C to offer, and that this was the profession that I feel like I can offer that through and do it that way. And then they can basically, what they would do if it were me and I'm an interviewer, I want to hear more about your experiences in that area. And you can speak to that in areas where you've excelled, even though it might not be PT related. And then you can transfer that and think, okay, well, if they've done it there, they have the qualities and the traits to be able to do it here too.
So kind of piggybacking off of that, is it worth it? You being a PT now, being on the other side, and you talking back to those, you know, those non-traditionals now who are applying, is it even worth all the, you know, all the risk, all the time, all the money to transfer from another career into PT?
You know, honestly, I think it is. It's kind of a hot button issue. And there's even been times where I've gone back and forth on it, just whenever I look at the statements I get from the federal government with my loan balance. But if I hadn't, here's the thing, like, there's no way that I would have gone through that and then had like the highest score on the NPTE the first 2 to 3 years that program had been in existence, until somebody got a perfect score this last year. There's no way that I would have been able to essentially kind of pick, because here's the thing. I remember what it was like to try and find jobs and nobody would look at you. I remember what it was like to try and think that I need to find something that can pay a little bit better, but you can't, because you either A, don't have the interview, or they're just not looking for you. Becoming a PT, you can pick wherever you want to work. I'm in such high demand now, it's ridiculous. I'm telling people no 3 times a week, because, well, one, I'm not interested in that. I'm not trying to work for anybody. First of all, second of all, I feel like had I not become a PT, there's no way that I would have gone through SSPT like I did. There's no way that I would have been exposed to meeting people like you all. There's no way I would have been experienced enough to be able to learn with what I learned from Greg Todd, and then from learning from each of you all and how to create my own business and my own clinic, my own practice, and doing things that way. There's no other way I could have done that. I mean, what's the next best alternative? Like, get a licensed massage therapy certification and then do personal training and try and combine the two? But you still can't position yourself like we can. So, you know, no offense to people that do that. Like, that's a smart route to take if you can leverage yourself. But something about having that doctorate degree, and you're an autonomous practitioner with direct access, and you can just basically name your price and name what you want to do and where you want to go and what you can offer and provide, maybe in the traditional way or a non-traditional way, like what a lot of us are doing, there's nothing else like it. So having looked back and seen, like, okay, my path was not straight. It was very much jagged and crooked, high and low, and a lot of looking back the other direction, thinking it looked pretty tempting. But I wouldn't have done it any other way, because honestly, like, I think it just set me up for where I'm at now.
I think that's what makes this so amazing, Jason, is that with a lot of our listeners, it's a really, you're right, it's a hot topic, it's a hot conversation, but it's so hard sometimes to kind of see the other side when you're on the front end of it. You know, for example, like for you, like you even saying the 1.86 alone, that's it, like, even the very foundation of what started what is now Pre-PT Grind was based off of several classmates who had lower GPAs, not even as low as that, after their freshman year, and were told that they had no chance of getting into PT school. So the option was pull the plug now, just save yourself the pain, and that's that.
I was told that.
Exactly. And so they did, because they're like, well, these are faculty members that are saying that. So if these are faculty members, then I guess, well, I guess I can't do it. Right. And it's funny, because if right now, Jason, you stood on the front end and you knew everything you were going to have to go through, you knew those 4 years, you knew that you were going to have that moment of like a little bit of a temporary high where you're like, well, it's a possibility. And then, oh crap, you know, the program isn't going to be ready for another year. Going through where you had to work that many years, you said 7 years as a, like you worked, right? You were a tech, and then you were
seven years. It was essentially a 7 to 8 year process just to get in.
It becomes very overwhelming to look into that and say, like, can I actually do it? Can I actually, you know, like, accomplish that? But what you were showing, bro, which is what I think is most powerful, is that really for you there were no other options. Mm-mm. Really for you, like you just said, it's like, what else was I gonna do? Like, was I just going to just be an athletic trainer? Like, what? Everything else would have just been aiming low. Even if I had hit or had a job, it's not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of pre-PTs, the problem is that necessity is not always there. Mm-hmm. It's always just saying, well, like, this is where that clarity really needs to come about. Because, like, well, I mean, I like it. I like PT. PT sounds, you know what? I looked at it a few weeks ago, and it looks like it's pretty hot right now. It looks like it's a pretty stable job. You know what? My parents actually told me I should be a PT, so I'm doing it. So what ends up happening is now if I don't get accepted after the first time, it's like, well, dang. Well, that didn't work out. No. And so we don't want to have to go through that pain again and again and again. But when we want it, we're going to put ourselves through it. It's like, man, it's like dating. Like, if you want somebody, you're going to go at it again. And again, and until you get like a definite no, or maybe it works out. Yep. Until that happens, you keep going, right? And it sucks to be rejected over and over. Mm-hmm. It sucks. But when you know that's what you want, you're like, yo, listen, there's really no other person. It's just, that's it. That's it. That's all. That's all. Yep. It's the same thing with physical therapy. As a pre-PT listening right now, whether you're a non-traditional pre-PT like Jason was, or your traditional pre-PT, doesn't really matter. You really need to figure out if this is what you really want. Don't go into this just because your parents are telling you. Don't go into it just because you looked on Google and statistically it looks like the best field to go into. Go into this because it's what you really want. Because right now, I can't paint out what your journey is going to be, because I don't know what your beginning was. Jason's beginnings painted a very different journey than if he started with a 3.9 GPA. But ultimately, because he wanted it, he is currently a physical therapist. And that's what I believe is most powerful and beautiful about your story, brother. I really do. I really, really do, man. Like, and that's why we want people to hear your story. And you know, just kind of looking back, what would you tell like a young Jason? Like, just looking at the experiences that you went through, what would you tell yourself? What would you tell Jason after getting the 1.86 GPA that freshman year? You're like, oh shoot, okay, like you're put on probation and everything. What would you go back to and say to that Jason, even before figuring out the PT was what you were going to do? Like, what would you say to him to help him get to where you are right now? We only say that, man, because that person is listening right now. That person is listening, they're driving, they're at home, they're at school, it's their lunch break, they're trying to wake up in the morning and they're just listening to this podcast to, you know, whatever. But bottom line is, somebody is listening and is going through that right now. What would you tell them?
I would say that right now, everything that you're feeling, that you're scared about, it's all worth it. Because if you give up and you don't see it through, what happens is you've got at least one, not just the thousands of people whose life you're going to change for the better. And they are depending on you to do it, because you will be able to do it in a way that no one else has. And that could, in a little bit more serious way, be the difference between saving somebody's life and ruining somebody's life that you haven't met yet. But if you give up, you'll let them down, not just yourself.
So if you had your own right school of physical therapy, who would your perfect applicant be? Like, going through everything you know now, being on the other side, you know, seeing your future colleagues who you might call doctor right next to you in a few years, who would be your ideal applicant to accept into your school?
You know, it's funny. I had the same conversation with the former clin ed director at my program just the other night. And he told me, you know, about my story. He said, "You're everything that's wrong with the application process as it is right now." He said, "Because you shouldn't have gotten in." He said, "And look what you're doing now." He's like, "We're having you come back to speak to our students every year. You know, it, I shouldn't have ever been given that chance." So I think honestly, I'd be a lot more lenient with that GPA. I'd like to be a little bit more understanding with, paint this picture. All right, I see this number sitting here. Paint the picture for me. What have you been going through? You know, were you having to work 2 and 3 jobs while you were going to school full time? Because I did. Were you having to help take care of mom or grandma or somebody else, dad, brother, sister, whatever, while you were going through school? You know, what took your attention away from your studies? You know, what real life stuff was going on? And then I just want to get to know more about them. And I'd probably be a lot harder on those 3-7 plus applicants. Because I'm like, man, you got to show that you want it. Because these kids down here with the 2.6s, 2.9s, 3.0s,
they want it.
They want it.
Man, like, the one thing that I can say is, like, to even highlight that, bro, is it's an identity crisis. Like, it really causes an identity crisis when it's not the way you just described it. Because we start labeling ourselves as the grades. Like, I am my GPA. So if my GPA is low, then insignificant, then I am insignificant, which completely leaks into my whole application process, my whole persona. When I walk in for an interview, even the way I carry myself, campus visit, all of that stuff. And, you know, this is the first time we've ever released it exclusively. Like in our soon-to-be-released, this is the first time it's announced, in our soon-to-be-released accepted system, which is going to be coming soon. Like, one of the things that we tell, you know, the people that have been part of that already is that they are not their GPA. You have to completely uproot that whole persona. You can't be like, "I am not my GPA." And the biggest thing is because, like, for you, you just said that when you went through your program, you were the highest, what? You were the highest, like, when you took your board exam, you were the highest score until somebody else came in and freaking flipped it and got a perfect. It took someone getting a perfect score when you started with a 1.86 GPA. Yet everybody's freaking out deciding, "Yo, well, my GPA is too low. I can't make it. I can't get into PT school. I have no chance of getting in because my GPA is too low." You know what? That means I'm stupid. That means I'm incapable. That means I can't do it. I didn't get accepted the first time. I can't do it. I didn't get accepted the second. Oh, actually, Jason took 4 times, got in, got the highest score on the NPTE in his program for 3 years until somebody got the nerve to get a perfect, which is unrealistic. But bottom line is, what that in itself, man, if we could have just made that the podcast episode, we would have been good.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on it.
Straight up, bro.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on that. Yeah, it's, I think
we might need a part 2.
I think I got maybe 3 B's in PT school.
And talk about it. Talk about it.
No. it just,
we got time.
The hard part was over.
This, like, once, part 2. Okay.
once I got in, like, that was the easy part, cuz I knew, like, I'd already seen it in my head, like, how it played out. I was going to finish. I just had to get in. I wasn't worried about what I was going to do once I got there. And then, so, and then, like, if you were gonna tell that 2-9 student applicant, you know, that they're gonna go on within a year of graduating, like leaving their cushy little outpatient ortho job, and they're gonna try and start their own practice. You know, that people say is not gonna work, being mobile, private pay, cash pay, and you're getting clients. And then, you know, you're talking about, you know, I think I'm going to shift gears. I think I'm going to do more online. And we'll get, I'll get into that story a little bit later. I don't want to release too much of that now, but shift gears that way so I can just reach more people. Yeah. Almost never was.
Wow. Almost never was. Wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
Man, Jason, thank you so much for sharing your story, brother. I think, like, I miss doing interviews. I really do. Because this is why we enjoy doing them. There are so many, man, there's going to be so many pre-PTs that will value this, that will listen to your experience and say, man, what the heck am I freaking out about? Right? Jason locked in so hard into what he wanted. One, you knew that it was PT, but you locked in so hard that you were like, yo, like, I'm actually borderline, like, insane with how many times I'm willing to take hits on this whole application process because I know what I want. Yeah. Right now, you're at the point where you've literally built it out, so you're not working for anybody.
Right.
You're calling your own shots, your own rates. Everything that you ever wanted that you would have had to settle for or at least give up had you ever decided after year two, after year three, or whenever that it was time to cut the cord, man. So that's huge.
Yeah, I say, and don't be mistaken. There were hours of conversations with myself in the mirror, like, "What are you doing? Like, it's not for you. You're just not supposed to be doing this." I'd wake up the next day and say, "You know what? Let's try again today,
bro." I have so much I could say, but I know it's gonna make this a 2-hour episode. And so listeners, just know that whenever you start your own podcast, you know, episodes in the future telling your stories and you bring your friends on, you know, it gets pretty dangerous because y'all could talk forever.
Yeah.
But really what I hope this was that is an opportunity for someone to realize that they are absolutely capable. Mm. That they are absolutely, like, if this is what they want, then go freaking get it. You're gonna take some hits. That's fine. It's part of it. Just go freaking get it. Jason did it. Jason pushed through it. Started a 1. If you got any GPA that's higher, if you're done with your freshman year and your GPA is higher than a 1.86 GPA, well, consider all your excuses thrown out the window. If it's a 1.85, okay, let's have a conversation. But bottom line is, yeah, man, like, Jason just said, all right, yo, listen, all your excuses are gone. But also, for someone that wants to reach out to you, Jason, because there's going to be a lot of people that want to do so, like, where can they find you? How can they get access to you?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can always look me up on Instagram, WrightFitPhysio, WrightFit Physio, all one word. Look me up on there. I've got my business profile page on Facebook, facebook.com/WrightFitPhysio. If you want to shoot me an email, that's fine too. rightfitphysiotherapy@gmail.com. Either one of those places, look me up, or hey, check out the website, rightfitpt.com.
Y'all see the spelling in the show notes and the title and everything.
Yeah.
So, man, thank you so much, Jason. Appreciate it. To all of our listeners, you know where to find all of our stuff. You know where to go. You know, go to www.preptgrind.com. You will get access to absolutely everything we have. And we want you to join us in our group, the Pre-Doctor of Physical Therapy Students Facebook page. That is the most powerful pre-PT community in the world. And it is on Facebook. If you don't have a Facebook, go create a Facebook because your career depends on it. Get in that group. Get in that community around a lot of other fired up pre-PTs and a lot of people that want to serve you, like our team, Jason, and so much more. Before we close, though, I want Zanaya to say something. Z, this is your first episode. Drop something for us. What was your takeaway? Z's in her first year of PT school. She's killing it on the California Loma Linda. Z, what were your takeaways? We're putting you on the spot.
Oh man, you put me on the spot for real. My takeaways are never give up. If it's something you want, you're going to go through a crazy journey. Mm-hmm. But regardless of what that journey looks like, continuous self-development and continuous questioning of why you're doing what you're doing is so important. And through that questioning, like, you're going to find the answers that you're looking for. So, and whatever those answers are, it's going to lead you to what your passion is, what you're interested in, and what you dream to do. So keep pushing, keep questioning things. Yeah. Thank you, Jason, for coming on. Like, that was amazing. Thank you for sharing your story. Like, I'm sure at least one person, I'm sure a lot of people will find your story very valuable and insightful. So thanks for hopping on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you all. Thank you all so much. It was an honor, a privilege just to be able to have the opportunity to even share the story. And hopefully, my hope is just one person can relate and be like, you know what, I'm going to keep going.
Jason, appreciate your time, brother. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Z, for being on your first full ever podcast recording. She's always on the other side running the show, but you guys are going to be hearing more from her. And really, check out Jason. The man is a dominant force, but it came with a lot of, you know, frustrations along his journey, a lot of wins and losses, but really a journey that resembles many of you that are struggling right now, that are doubting, with many people close to you that are saying, you know what, maybe try something else. And if you listen to this story and you heard yourself, you found yourself, find Jason, please, like, do it for you. Don't do it for us. We already know Jason. We can call him whenever. Do it for you. Do it for your career. Do it for your family. Do it for the people that are closest to you, because it really, 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 really does matter. Mm. And that's it. See you guys next week. Bye.
See you all.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Pre-PT Grind podcast. This show has been brought to you by the Pre-PT Success Program.